You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, let's jump right into the Word this morning. I have a message that I wanted to share with you. You know, Paul made mention of in the book of Acts, he said that there was something that he was praying about and was considering doing, and he said that it seemed good to he and the Holy Ghost. And so I have a message that seemed good to me and the Holy Ghost, and then we'll begin a Christmas series next week. And so I want to just minister this to you. I want to remind you, stir your heart on some things and just help you out a little bit. But go ahead and get your message notes out if you want to and just fill those blanks in. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture. So track with me the best that you can. Follow along. And we want to hit on some high points and get into some things. I want to talk to you today about Jesus still being a healer today. You know, I just say this? I have heard more reports, I would say in the last month or so, about people being diagnosed with cancer. I hate cancer with a passion. And for what it does to people's lives, it destroys families, destroys households, and there, of course, there are other diseases and things like that. But, you know, I'm just really at a point where I'm ready for the healer to show up. I'm ready for the manifestations of the power of God to be in operation. And listen, I'm especially ready for God's people to walk in what Jesus provided for us. So touch two or three people real quick and say, Jesus is still a healer. He is still a healer. Hallelujah. So I just want to remind you about that. I'm just checking my microphone. My microphone sounds funny. There we go. All right, well, let's look at this. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 is going to be the scripture that we're going to launch from. Like I said, you can follow along on your message notes. All of my notes are on the website. If you want to jump on the website, you can do that as well. But let me give you a little bit of context about this verse that we're getting ready to read. The Apostle Peter was directed supernaturally to go and minister to a Gentile whose name was Cornelius and go to his house and preach the gospel to him. An angel appeared to him and said, go to Cornelius' house and minister the way of salvation to him. And so Peter obeyed. He went to Cornelius' house and began to share the gospel. And verse 38 of Acts chapter 10 summarizes the message that Peter gave in that household, which, by the way, after Peter gave this short, brief message, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell on them and that they were filled with the Spirit of God. They got born again, and just it was a great time. But let me show you what happened. Peter said this. He said in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit and with power. Everybody say power.
Power.
He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say good.
Good.
And healing. Say healing.
Healing.
Healing is good.
Yes.
He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, we could go and launch into a million different directions out of this scripture. The one point that I do want to make, and I'm going to have to really, really discipline myself today to limit my commentary just because we have so many scriptures, but I want to point this out to you. Notice that it says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Sickness and disease is of the devil. I'm going to say that again. Sickness and disease does not come from the hand of God. It doesn't come from heaven. It comes straight from the pit of hell through the devil. And Jesus came to undo the works of darkness, the scripture said. And so I'm glad about that. Now, you know, I want you to think about this with me. Think about this. Peter was one of the disciples that ministered with Jesus for 3.5 years, leading up to, of course, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, and then was with Jesus the day that he ascended. And I want you to think about all the different things that Peter could have told them. He could have talked to them about how that the first day that they met Jesus, that they were casting their nets on one side and they didn't catch anything. Jesus told them to go out and put their nets in the water again, and they caught so many fish that it couldn't be counted. You know, think about this, that Peter was there when Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus was there Peter was there when Jesus fed the multitudes twice with fishes, just a handful of fishes and loaves. He fed the multitudes, thousands upon thousands of people. He, remember this, that he was there that night that Jesus walked on water. And matter of fact, Peter got out of the boat and walked to him. It says that, you know, he could have talked about how he needed to pay his taxes. Anybody need to pay your bills? Well, Jesus told Peter to go fishing, and when he went fishing, he found the money in the fish's mouth and went and paid his taxes and Jesus' taxes as well. Peter was there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Think about all the wonderful things that Peter experienced in the life and the ministry of Jesus, but the one thing that sticks out in his thinking is about how Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing. Everybody say healing. Peter felt like it was important enough to focus. Now, here's why. If you're taking notes, write this down. Peter chose to talk about Jesus as the healer because healing was a defining characteristic of Jesus' ministry. You know, think about this, that of all the things that we read in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course we love the messages that Jesus preached, that we have record of. But the thing that we probably focus on the most are the miracles that happened at the hands of Jesus, how Jesus would minister and set people free and deliver them and bring health and healing into their lives. Healing is and was a characteristic of the ministry of Jesus. And here's the point, and this is the punchline. We'll go ahead and get it out there. Jesus is still focused on healing today, and healing is still a characteristic of his ministry. And you need to know that. And so this was something that really was a focal point of Jesus' ministry. Now, here's why. If you're writing notes, write this down. Apart from spiritual things, the one thing that we as humans are most concerned about is our physical body. Think about it. How many of you got up this morning, you took a shower? Oh, nobody did. Praise the Lord. I did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. Now think about it. You got up, you took care of yourself, you took a shower, you did what you needed to do to take care of your body. All of those things, at least we pray that you did. And so, you know, that this is a focal point of our lives. What we're concerned about is our physical bodies. Matter of fact, Jesus knew that this would be a focal point of humanity. And so he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body." Don't worry about your body. Now, he didn't say don't take care of it. He didn't say, you know, don't abuse it and all of that. But he said, don't worry about it. What you will eat, what you will drink, or what you'll put on is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Jesus knew that we would be focused on the physical condition of our lives. Now, I want you to think about something for just a moment. Now, I pray that, you know, nobody under the sound of my voice has had to experience this, but I want you to think about something for just a moment. If you got a negative diagnosis from the doctor, I guarantee you everything materially in your life takes second fiddle to that. In other words, if you get a diagnosis with cancer and, you know, it's not good and the prognosis is not good, I guarantee you, you're not worried about buying a new car. You're not worried about getting the latest fashions. You're not worried about any of those things. You are concerned about your physical body. Am I right? I mean, listen, you know, take away the major illnesses, and maybe we men are probably worse about it than you women, but, you know, if we are dealing with something in our body, like some sniffles or something like that, listen, it's all about us, baby, at that time, because we focus, we got to get well, we got to get better, and so, you know, we're dealing with all that kind of stuff, but the thing that I want you to see is that your physical condition is important to you, but here's the most important thing, and that is this. God cares about the care of your body. God is interested in your physical well-being. He wants you well. I'm going to say that again. He wants you well. So much so that to an equal level that He bought your spiritual salvation, He bought and paid for your physical salvation. Matter of fact, the scripture, you know, I remember when I grew up Baptist, you know, coming up when I first got saved, I was, actually I got saved, I don't mean this derogatory, but I got saved after I was in the Baptist church. I got the hell scared out of me while I was in the Baptist church, but, you know, I didn't cuss. I'm just saying. Because they showed a movie and it scared me to, you know. Anyway, life change happened after all that, but thank God for the Baptists. They get a lot of people saved, and I'm thankful for it, all right? I'm not knocking the Baptists at all. And then after I was in the Baptist church, you know, we went to, our family ended up going to a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church, so, you know, we were familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what but way back, we started out in a Methodist church. So if anybody asks, well, what are you? I'm a Methabaptocostal, okay? So I just, you know, wanted to clarify that. But anyway, here's where I was going with that. When I was in the Baptist church, there was a Baptist theologian that penned a Bible called the Scofield Bible. Some of you might even have a Scofield Bible. I remember that was the very first Bible that I ever received, and it had some commentary on it. And I can remember reading in one of the commentaries on the bottom of a page where it talked about salvation. Even Brother Scofield said that salvation is an all-inclusive word that doesn't just mean your eternal destiny. It means salvation spiritually. It means salvation physically. It means salvation mentally. It is an all-encompassing word. That's pretty good for a Baptist to say all that. Amen. And so what I want you to see is that God is interested in your whole being free, being well, being healed, and being able to accomplish the will of God in the earth. That's God's plan. Now, God is interested in your physical well-being, so much so that Jesus paid a great price for that. Turn around and tell somebody, Jesus is interested in your physical body. Tell them this, He wants you well. Amen. Now, I want to address the question this morning, and we're going to take some time and we're going to dive into this. I want to answer the question, who will God heal? Or who will Jesus heal? Are there just an elite few? Is it just the handful of preachers that you see on TV? Or who is it that God will heal? Well, first of all, I wish I had a year to preach on this because you could take that long. But what I want you to see is that Jesus has already paid for your healing. Healing already belongs to you. It's a matter of receiving it. So when I make a statement and say, who will God heal? Maybe it could be better articulated this way. Who has God provided healing for? In other words, it belongs to every man, woman, boy, and girl. So let's address this. Who will God heal? Number one, God healed someone in the Bible who did not even know Him. I want you to think about that for just a moment. God heals people who don't even know Him. Okay, let me say this. God will heal unsaved folk. Because I think sometimes we tend to believe that healing and the working of miracles and things like that are reserved for church people. No, you need to I heard this a long time ago. I heard a preacher say this. Healing is the dinner bell of God. In other words, healing is something that God will do to draw people to Him. So yes, God will heal unsaved people. All He needs is just a little bit of belief. Listen, I will say this. Your theology doesn't even have to be 100% correct for God to heal you. I'm going to say this. God will heal people that you would think He wouldn't heal. He healed you, didn't he? Amen. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 13 through 15. Just a brief little story in the Old Testament during the ministry of Elisha, the prophet. There was a Syrian who was definitely a Gentile. He was outside of the covenant of God. He was a general in the Syrian army. His name was Naaman. And Naaman got leprosy. He was in bad shape. Now, leprosy is an awful disease. And so Naaman came and he actually wanted to come and see if Elijah could help him or Elisha could help him. And Elisha, he came and knocked on Elisha's door. Elisha wouldn't even come outside and talk to him. Okay? He just sent word to him and told him what to do. But let's jump in this. And in chapter 5, 2 Kings 5, verse 13, and his servants came near, Naaman's servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, our master, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it?" In other words, Elisha sent word to him and said, "Hey, here's what you do. Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed." Well, Naaman got mad because God didn't heal him the way he wanted to be healed. See, Naaman wanted the man of God to come out and lay hands on him and shout and scream, "Be healed in Jesus' name," and then let Naaman fall out under the power. And if all that happened, he knew he would be healed. But how many of you know that it doesn't happen a lot of times the way we think? You know, you can't put God in a box. God's going to do what he needs to do. Now, the end result will be the same, but God's going to work the way he wants to work. So anyway, he told Naaman, he said, "Go and dip in the Jordan River." Naaman got mad at him. And so his servants came to him and said, hey, listen. If he had told you to do something hard, you'd have done it. So just why don't you listen to what the man's telling you and go do it. Verse 14, so he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And indeed, now here's why God heals sinners. Listen to what he said. "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." God will heal sinners so that they can come to the knowledge of understanding that God loves them, that Jesus wants to minister to them and help them. Now listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Between now and the time Jesus returns, don't be surprised when you start hearing about sinners who get healed and don't understand why. See, we have a way we want it done. You know, we want heathen folk to come to our church, sit under the word and do all of that, and they need to, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But listen, my Bible says in the book of Acts that when the apostles would walk down the street and their shadow would fall on people, they would get healed. When was the last time you, like, let's say Good Friday, you were at Walmart looking at your new TV that you wanted to buy, and you're minding your own business, and you pass by, and because of the power of God that's in you, it falls on somebody else, and they get healed. Somebody said, "I can't. I was beating somebody up to get a 65-inch. No, don't do that. Don't do that. So what God does is he will minister to people that are lost in order to win them to Christ. And you're going to see that in a greater way and greater manifestation than we've ever seen before, because God's interested in people. He loves people. He loves people. Now, healing is such a powerful and personal thing that it reveals to people the character of God. It tells people that God loves them and he cares about them. Here's number two. Who will Jesus heal? Jesus healed the man that was outcast from society. See, there's going to be some people that society doesn't want much to do with because maybe they don't have a lot of money or they don't have, you know, social status or whatever. Jesus will heal people that we consider to be outcasts. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now stop right here and understand this. This man, by Jewish law, should not have even been in public. He was unclean. He could have possibly contaminated a whole group of people, but he decided that he was going to get to Jesus. And even though he was an outcast from society, you know, if you, back in Jesus' day or even before, if you got leprosy, you immediately lost your family, your job, your friends, and you had to go live in a special camp outside of the everybody else, and you couldn't come back in unless you were healed. And so this man comes to Jesus and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice what happened. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Now I want to point something out to you real quick. I told you I was going to resist commentary, but sometimes I can't. Y'all pray for me, but I want to ask you a question. Read the scripture. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. When Jesus touched the man, was he cleansed? No, he wasn't. When Jesus reached out and touched the man, he wasn't yet cleansed. He got cleansed after Jesus touched him. What does that tell me? That tells me that Jesus will reach out and touch someone that most people won't touch. He's not worried about their sin, their sickness, their whatever getting off on him. And really, honestly, you shouldn't be either. You know, because I'm amazed at how the body of Christ, we don't like to hang around with people that aren't like us. Because we're afraid that something that they have might get on us. Now listen, you know, if you struggle with something, you don't need to go hang around with people that struggle with what you struggle with or that you're dealing with or God has set you free from. However, okay, how are they going to know unless we go? Number three, Jesus heals those who are left behind because of their disease. You know, one of the most moving things for me a lot of times, and that's why they show these commercials, it's just, you know, to pull at people's heartstrings like myself. But, you know, the Shriners Hospital commercials that you see on television and stuff where you see the children that, and by the way, If you ever in my presence accuse God of putting something on a little kid like that, you better duck while you're saying it. I take that stuff personally. I'm being serious. I take that very personally because I don't serve a God who puts disease on little children. I don't serve a God who puts disease on little children that puts them in a wheelchair and leaves them crippled for the rest of their life. I don't serve a God who does that. And if you're going to accuse my God, now your God might do that. Mine doesn't. Amen. I thought I'd get a little better amen than that. Amen. Jesus heals those. See, people like that that have been affected by sickness and disease very often will get left behind by society. Look at Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'll skip around. I'm not going to read all 12 verses, but we'll read a portion of it. And again, when Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, it was heard that he was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now, again, we gloss over some of these things when we read them, but I want you to get this picture in your mind. This guy was left crippled by sickness and disease and had no ability on his own to get near Jesus. In other words, this disease had left him behind. If he didn't have his four friends that were willing to carry him and do what they did in just a minute, that we'll read, that the man would have done without. And so it says that he couldn't even get the door. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now I want you to think about this for just a second. This man could have done nothing on his own unless his four friends had helped him. Thank God for his four friends. Because, you know, some of us would have been like, oh, man, we can't get in. You do see all the people, right? I mean, we can't even fit in a room. So maybe we'll come back and the next time Jesus comes to town and he's holding his crusade, and maybe we'll be able to get you in that time. You know, but listen, I'm just really sorry. We just can't do it this time. No, he had four friends that weren't willing to quit or give up. They wanted their friend who had been left behind to be able to receive from the Lord Jesus. So listen, they did whatever it took to get the man to Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get the people around you to Jesus? Sometimes you might have to tear up somebody's roof. Verse 10. Now, what happened between verse 5 and verse 10 is when Jesus told the man, your sins are forgiven, the religious leaders got all upset and bent out of shape, and I'm not going to even focus on what they said. But Jesus replied to them in verse 10. He said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house, and immediately." Everybody say immediately. "He arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this." Now, I do want to say this. If you read the story in its entirety, you'll find out the religious people were more interested in the man fulfilling the religious obligations than they were in the man getting healed. Notice what Jesus was focused on, getting the man healed. And by the way, he still is focused on getting the man healed. Number four, Jesus heals the person who is limited because of their disease. Anybody ever dealt with anybody, or maybe you know of somebody that has had some type of illness or sickness or disease, and it's left them handicapped somehow for the rest of their lives? I mean, I think we've all ran into people that are like that. Jesus wants to heal people that are limited because of the effects of sickness and disease. Look at Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, "And Jesus entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand." Now, how would you like to be known? I mean, we do our very best at Spring Hill Church to try and get to know everybody, you know, and I try and get to know people's names so I can greet you by your name. But how would you like to be known as the guy at the church with the withered hand? You don't even have a name. That's what this guy is known as. I mean, we don't have any record of what his name was. But we do know that he had a withered hand. And so they watched Jesus closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. Again, they're more interested on what happens according to religion. It says, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, again, we don't know what his name was, we just know he's got a withered hand. And he said, turn to the man in front of everybody else. Step forward, he said. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. So apparently, Jesus is getting ready to do something good, and he's getting ready to save a life. And it says, and when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't want people to have to go through the rest of their life limited because of the effects of sickness or disease. You know, I've had several relatives that as they got older, I have an aunt, she's in heaven now, but the latter part of her life, well, actually a good portion of her life, from almost the whole time I knew her while she was here in the earth, she had lost her hearing. And there's just something about deaf people. When I get around deaf people, I guess I'm more sensitive to that. But I think about how people that have been affected by some type of sickness or disease that have left them without their hearing. Something that will, if they don't receive healing from Jesus, will limit them for the rest of their lives. Jesus wants to set people free from those types of things. I was watching something on PBS, and I don't know if you've ever, or if you know who Andrea Bocelli is. I love him. He's got a gorgeous voice, but he's blind. I mean, think about somebody like Stevie Wonder or one of these great artists. Think about this. Jesus wants to heal them of this thing, this disease that has left them limited all of their lives. He wants to set them free. He wants to set them free. He wants to set them free. You and I are around people all the time that Jesus wants to set free. Somebody says, why won't he do it? Because he's waiting on you and me to act. Number five, Jesus healed the man that had, or healed a man that and delivered him from his mental illness. We're hearing a lot about mental illness in culture and society today, and it is something that's very serious. It affects a lot of people. Let me read this scripture, and then I'll make a few comments. Mark chapter 5, I won't read it all, but we'll read, and says in verse 1, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And I want to stop right here and I want to say this. If you'll read the preceding verses to this, you'll find out Jesus gave the disciples the command and said, let's go to the other side. I believe Jesus intended on going to the other side of the lake simply to set one man free. And it says that when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Now look at me very intently. I am not implying that people that are mentally ill are demon-possessed. But people who are demon-possessed will be mentally ill. I promise you. They will be affected by that. But people, there are people who are affected by mental illness. Let me say it to you this way. If you can be sick in your stomach, you can be sick in your head. Can I just make a comment right here and say this? I'm amazed at how ignorant some Christians can be. I've been at services where someone, a believer, someone who was born again, took their own life, and I've heard ministers tell the family, well, I don't know if they're in heaven or not. Like you lose your salvation if you commit suicide. There is nothing further from the truth. Are you listening to me? I want you to understand something. Anybody, you could get some kind of disease in your physical body, such as, you know, some type of cancer or something like that, and die, and you still go to heaven. Why is it that we think that people that get some kind of illness in their brain or in their mind, if they die, they go to hell? I don't understand why we can be so ignorant sometimes. Look at me. If somebody is born again and they take their own life, it's because they have gotten to a point where they have lost hope. Woe be unto us if we look at somebody and we say, well, you know, I don't know if your loved one's in heaven or not. Suicide will not send you to hell any more than drinking will send you to hell. The only thing that will cause a person to go to hell is not receiving Jesus Christ. I hope you're getting this, because I am tired of Christians telling other Christians stuff that just is not true. I mean, I'm a little more sensitive to this maybe because, you know, it just seems like we're hearing, and I hear, being in the ministry, of pastors that have taken their own lives. And it's sad to say, you know, people in ministry would get to that point, but it's no different than a physical ailment that somebody gets to that point where they don't see any other way out. And I had to say that. I'm not trying to be a downer or anything like that, but you need to know. You need to know suicide is not the unpardonable sin. So if you know somebody that was a believer, that knew Jesus, and they took their own life, you will see them again. Am I helping anybody? Now notice this, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, and he had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Now you would think they would celebrate this. You would think they would be happy that somebody got delivered. But look what it says. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And you remember he cast the demons into the swine and they ran off the cliff. And they were more interested in their bacon going over the hill than they were this man getting healed. Don't shout me down now just because. And then they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, the man, he who had been demon-possessed, begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and when he has, and that he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. You know, I don't know for sure. I didn't research it. But I believe, if I remember correctly, this is the only time in Jesus' ministry, after he ministered to someone and healed them, he told them to go and proclaim what Jesus had done for him. Jesus wants to set people free from mental illness. Now, I'll say this. You need the power of God and the Word of God to receive healing in that area. Don't lean entirely upon the strength and the knowledge of men. I'm not taking away from anybody who serves or is any kind of particular profession, but if you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a counselor or therapist who doesn't know Jesus, you're making a big mistake. Number six, Jesus heals those conditions that are long-standing and that maybe you have learned to live with. You know, sometimes we do that. We get things that attack our bodies and you know, it's not a big deal. So what we just decide to live with it. Jesus doesn't want you living with it. He wants you free from it. Those things that maybe, you know, we don't deem as too severe, but they're annoying. They're a problem. Jesus wants to set you free from those things. He wants to heal those things. This is a little more serious, but Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34 says this. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, when she did that, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. What if this woman had had the attitude and said, "You know what, so I've got a problem. I'll just learn to deal with it." She wouldn't have received anything from Jesus. Somehow she got it down in her heart that Jesus wants me free from this. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Jesus set her free from something that had been going on for a long time. Some of us might be dealing with something in your physical body that's been going on a long time. Maybe, you know, it's some back issues and you've just decided, "You know what, I can handle the pain." Listen, Jesus doesn't want you living in pain. I don't know who that was for, but it's for somebody in the room. Number seven. Now this one's huge. Jesus wants to heal people so that they can have some normality in their lives and not have their lives revolve around some kind of sickness. You ever notice that? When people get some type of illness, all of a sudden their entire life revolves around that illness. And I understand why. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's a change that takes place. In other words, everything in your life becomes focused on either trying to get treatment or treating it or dealing with it in some way, but your life begins to revolve around that sickness and disease. Listen to me carefully. Jesus is interested in healing you so that your life can be better. Somehow we just don't understand, or maybe we just don't grasp the fact that Jesus wants your life to be better. You know, I know there's preachers that knock, you know, that kind of belief system. I just happen to believe that Jesus wants my life to be good. I serve a good God who wants my life to be good. I mean, the scripture says that He's given me all things in life to enjoy. When you're burdened with sickness and disease, you can't enjoy life. I'm just saying. Turn to somebody and say, He's just saying. Jesus wants your life to be free so that you can experience some sense of normality in your life. Let me prove it to you. Mark chapter 5, this is around the story of the woman with the issue of blood that we just read. This is before and after. So in verse 21 of the same chapter, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. And of course, the story of the woman that was healed of the issue of blood is sandwiched in here. And so Jesus has just ministered to her. She's received her healing. And so Jesus is having a conversation with the woman while he's talking to her. Look at verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now I could camp out right there and we could have a barnstorm of a message right on those little words right there. But notice that Jesus snatched around. He's in the middle of the conversation talking to the woman that was healed, and he overhears. You ever been talking to somebody and you hear another conversation over here? Jesus snatches around in the middle of this conversation, turns and looks at Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid, only believe." But Jesus, it's too late. How many times have we said, "Jesus, it's too late"? Well, like I said, I won't camp out there. As tempting as it is. Verse 37, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult. Anybody ever had a tumult? You ever been to a funeral and you had a tumult? I've seen some folks tumulting at a funeral. Okay, you know, where folks wanting to climb in the casket and do all that kind of stuff. That's a tumult, all right? So you got a group of people already doing that. I mean, they hadn't had a service yet. They're already at the house acting up and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, they over there with the fans and trying to help people and all that kind of stuff. Somebody said, "Are you making fun?" No, I'm not making fun. I'm just saying what I've observed. Anyway, praise the Lord. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. They laughed at him. You got to have some big guts to laugh at Jesus now when he comes in the house and he says something like this. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child. Sometimes you're going to have to put some folks who are tumulting out of the house. I'm just saying. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, say immediately. Immediately. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. Now there were times when Jesus would say, "See to it that no one knows." It says here, he made a big deal telling the family, telling the people that were around, make sure strictly that no one knows it. And he said to her, now this might strike you as being a little strange. Jesus said something should be given her to eat. In other words, somebody fix her something to eat. Be sure you don't tell people what's happened here today. Don't you dare go out of this house and talk about what happened today. And by the way, fix her something to eat. Now, I think we've kind of just glossed over this, but think it through with me for just a second. Jesus is wanting this little girl who's 12 years old to have a normal life. See, if Jesus had not given the instructions for people not to know what had happened, you know what would have happened? She would have become a circus freak show to that village. She would have been forever known as the little girl who died and Jesus healed. And somebody said, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is a 12-year-old girl can't handle that, and Jesus wanted her to grow up and be a normal little girl. And he said, get her something to eat. He's interested in her living a normal life and sitting down and eating dinner. Jesus wasn't interested in printing up business cards and putting his name and her name on it and them starting an evangelistic tour. He wanted her to experience a normal life. Listen to me. Jesus wants to heal people so they can experience a normal life. Am I helping you? Plainly, he just wanted her to become a teenager, live out her life, be fulfilled, maybe get married one day and all of that, and not be the focal point of everybody's whispers for the rest of her life. Lastly, I want to say this to you. It does not matter what the condition is or how great or how small. Jesus cares about it and wants it to be healed. Because here's what we have a tendency to do. Jesus, you handle the big stuff. I'll handle the little stuff. I can handle the cold, Jesus. You handle the cancer. Jesus, I can handle the headache. You handle the MS or whatever. Listen to me. Jesus wants to heal all of it. All of it. Look at Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now look at this. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. The actual Greek says this. He laid hands on a few people with minor ailments. Somebody that had a headache. Somebody that might have, you know, had some stomach issues going on because they ate too much at Thanksgiving. Or, you know, something minor. You know, those things that we just dismiss and we don't want to bother the Lord with. Jesus is interested in healing all of them. All of them. All of them. Every single pain, every single sickness, every single disease, Jesus wants you free. Now here's the last thing I'll say, and then we'll close. Write this down. Healing was and still is a great defining characteristic of Jesus' ministry. I want to say this to you. Jesus wants to heal you today. If you're in this room sitting here with pain, discomfort, sickness, disease affecting your body, Jesus wants you healed before you walk out of this door. Somebody said, well, how do I get it? Well, first of all, you need to understand it's already bought and paid for. It already belongs to you. So all you have to do is just simply receive it. Somebody says, but what if I don't feel better? See, that's where we mess up. You can't be moved by whether you feel better or not. You have to receive it and then declare, I am healed in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here and you're dealing with pain, sickness, and disease in your body right now, I want you to put your hand up. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, come on, say it loud. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus paid the price to buy not only my salvation, but my healing as well. He took the stripes. He bore my sickness and carried my disease. And with his stripes, I am healed. Father, I receive my healing today, right now, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am healed in Jesus' name. I command sickness. I command disease. I command pain to leave my body right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus is still a healer today, and I am healed in Jesus' name. Say it again. I am healed in Jesus' name. Say it one more time. I am healed in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you right now that the healing power of God is present in this room to undo sickness and disease and every effect of the enemy upon the people's lives. Father, I command pain to leave right now. I command growths to leave right now. I command bones to be healed and restored, joints to be made fluid once again. In the name of Jesus, Father, I command headaches to leave right now in Jesus' name. Yeah, I just heard this. Migraines, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name and never return. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All the Lord needs is some faith just to open the door for Him to move in your life. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for restoring health and healing right now. Hallelujah. 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 The healer is here. He's in the room. He's moving up and down every aisle, ready to minister to those who are ready to receive. Hallelujah. Say, I receive it. Say it again. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, open your mouths and let's just praise Him for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing today. Thank you for healing physical bodies today. Thank you for delivering from sickness and disease. Thank you, Father. Pain is gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I just heard this in my spirit. Somebody here, you're going to be healed. The scripture says that there were some who left Jesus after he ministered to them and they began to make amends from that hour. Your healing has begun. Some of you, your healing has begun. Your healing has begun. Your healing has begun. Don't stop it. Let it flow. Healing has begun. Every time you think about it, say, Lord, thank you that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Thank you that I'm healed in Jesus' name. Your healing has begun. It's begun right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just heard this in my spirit. Within 24 hours, you're going to see a difference. Within 24 hours, you're going to see a difference. Hallelujah. This time, tomorrow, you're going to see a difference. Hallelujah. Every time you think about it, say, Lord, thank you for my healing. Thank you for my... I tell you what, here's something else you say. Lord, I thank you that the healing power of God is at work within my body to effect a healing and to bring about a cure. I'll say that again. Lord, I thank you that the healing power of God is at work within my body to effect a healing and to bring about a cure. Lord, I thank you that the healing power of God is at work within my body to effect a healing and to bring about a cure in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are going to wake up in the morning and whatever's been annoying you, all of a sudden you're going to realize, that's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Just remember to praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us so much that you don't even want us to live with sickness and disease in our bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a healer. Thank you that you're our healer. Thank you that you're still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came to church today. Hallelujah. You're healed in Jesus' name. You are healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for your healing? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, everybody, just bow your heads real quick. I want to just never like to dismiss a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If you're here today and you've never done that, you've never given your heart to Christ, in other words, you've never surrendered your life to Him, I want to give you that opportunity. It's not about joining Spring Hill Church or finding religion or anything. It's simply about opening your heart and receiving the free gift of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness. See, you need to understand, 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He shed His blood once and for all, the Scripture says. And it never has to be done again, but we have to receive what He did for us. See, it's simply where you open your heart and you believe that Jesus died for you, that He was raised from the dead, and then you simply surrender your life to Him and you let Him be Lord of your life. It's really that simple. And the Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, if you will do that, that you will be born again. Now, you might be here today and you've given your heart to Christ, but your heart has grown cold towards the things of God, and you know you're not serving Jesus like you need to. I want you to know something. Jesus is not mad at you this morning. He's not upset with you. God is not so mad at you that He doesn't want anything to do with you. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. And all you have to do is turn your heart back towards Him. And the Scripture says that God will run towards you and pour out mercy and grace upon your life. Now, I need to know, I'd love the privilege of praying with you today. If you need to give your heart to Christ for the first time or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, make you come down front. But I need you to take a simple step of faith and just simply raise your hand. And by doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus, or I need to recommit my life to Him today. If that's you, just put your hand up quickly. I want to pray with you. Church, if you believe in what we're doing, will you please pray this prayer with me? Pray it so loud you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I believe with all my heart that you died for me. I believe that you were raised from the dead. And Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. Cleanse me in your blood. Make me holy and pure in your sight. Forgive me of my past. Give me a brand new start. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.